everyone. It's Beverly Hallberg. Welcome to a special mini-series of the She Thinks podcast, where Julie Gunlock will be sitting down with four Kappa Kappa Gamma plaintiffs and Westenbrook versus Kappa Kappa Gamma to dive into their fight to preserve female-only spaces. Independent Women's Law Center is the lead counsel on this case, and oral arguments will be heard before the 10th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals on May 14th. Four of the plaintiffs, now ambassador at Independent Women's Forum, join She Thinks to share their respective stories as they look to hold Kappa to the sisterhood promised to them. Enjoy.
Hey, everyone. As Beverly said, I am Julie Gunlock, and today I am going to be talking to Maddie Raymar. She is a current Kappa Kappa Gamma member and one of the plaintiffs in Westenbrook v. Kappa Kappa Gamma. Thanks so much for coming on with me today, Maddie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maddie, your story is so emotional for a lot of women to hear about the situation that you were put in. But before we get started with that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name's Maddie Raymar. I am from Colorado, and I attended the University of Wyoming in fall of 2021, where I am a current nursing student, and I graduated May 26, and I pledged in Kappa fall of 21 as well. And I am still active in Kappa.
Well, we'll get into that because I think it's really interesting that you're still involved in Kappa. I think it's wonderful, but I'd love to get your thoughts on that. But first, tell us how you're feeling. The lawsuit is about, oral arguments are going to be heard very soon, right around the corner. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really excited that we can like finally share our story, and that, I mean, lawsuits take a long time to happen. So I'm excited that things are now starting to happen. We're going to be able to share our stories, and the judges of the 10th Circuit will be able to hear. A lot of anxious, you know, I'm anxious on what's going to happen, but I really hope that things go well, because not only does this help all sororities, but it also goes for all women's spaces across the country.
You know, I've asked your co-plaintiffs, I've interviewed some of your sort of colleagues in the lawsuit, and I've asked all of them this question, because I think particularly what we're seeing on college campuses today with all the protests, the anti-Israel protests that we're seeing on college campuses, it seems like, is there a college student who isn't politically active today? And it can feel like every student goes to college just to become politically active. And I know that's not true. Were you politically active, or had you planned to get involved in any political issues before this case occurred, before this incident occurred with Kappa Kappa Gamma?
No, not at all. In high school, before all this, I've never been politically active at all. That's just not really my thing. But after everything that I went through and all of my sisters went through, I knew that I didn't want this to happen to anybody else. And no woman should ever have to be uncomfortable in their own like living environments. And I also knew how much I grew and learned being in a sorority, and I wanted other women to be able to experience that. So that's when I decided to become more politically active, to advocate for other women so they can have the same experiences that we had.
You know, when this lawsuit was first filed, you were anonymous, but then a judge required you to come out, and you did, which is so impressive, because I think a lot of people might have at that point said, let's drop it. I don't want my name out there. What was it like to make that decision to come out publicly, especially on an issue as emotionally charged as this?
Honestly, it was terrifying. I mean, being in college, I never thought I'd end up in a lawsuit. I mostly keep to myself. I don't have social media or any of that stuff. So me putting my name out there, it was really intimidating, because we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, we were expecting a lot more negative feedback and people to come out and like say mean things to us. But I was able to do it through the help of my other sisters. I mean, we're all best friends. We all did this together, and I would not have been able to do it without them. And from Kappas and other sorority sisters from across the entire country, I mean, they all came up and helped us and supported us. And being able to have that support was really awesome. And I hope that we're able to encourage other women to stand up for this as well.
Well, you certainly are an inspiration to so many women. Have you had women in your sorority and also contact you outside of the college and outside of the sorority say, you know, this is something similar has happened to me, and I'm too afraid to speak up. Tell us about those interactions you've had with other people, other women.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of situations where women have experienced the same thing and they came to me. When this first was filed, a lot of women in other sororities and across the country, even dads with daughters, reached out to our lawyers and just said, thank you so much for doing this, because they also experienced similar things as well. And when we're able to stand up, hopefully that sets the precedent for other places, like other sororities and women's sports teams. But I have had a lot of women come to me and say, you know what, I don't agree with this at all. And I'm so grateful that you guys are standing up and fighting for this. And that means a lot. And it's nice to know that we have that that support through this as well.
You know, we're seeing this a similar battle go on in women's sports. And they share these issues. You all share the issue of a woman's space, a woman's safety, and her sense of sort of safety and peace, entering a place where she knows there will not be a male. And now there are males, whether it's sports or, as we've seen here, in a sorority house. Riley Gaines, for instance, was treated terribly. She's called a transphobe. She's called a homophobe. She's called all sorts of things. Have you experienced that as well?
Yes, not so much as me, but for the other plaintiffs, they have been more active on social media, so they have definitely received a lot of comments like that. However, we know that we're not against anybody. We are just for women's spaces. So we just have to remind ourselves that and know that what we're fighting for is way bigger than any of those mean comments.
Now, some of your Kappa sorority sisters have left, that have experienced, that have left Kappa, but you decided to stay. Tell us about that decision.
Yeah, well, I decided to stay because I have grown so much in this chapter. I've met my best friends, and I want other women to be able to experience that too, because being in a sorority is such an amazing experience and an opportunity throughout college. And I knew that by quitting, I was just giving up. And then if I quit, I wasn't going to be able to stay and fight for the other women who are still in this house, for other women who are still in sororities. And then I let them win. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm going to stay here and fight for this because I want other women to be able to experience this too.
Tell us about the leadership of Kappa. I know that there was a vote of letting this male into your sorority. And what was unfortunate, as I've learned with some of the other interviews, much of the leadership in that local Kappa chapter were seniors. So they don't have to live with this male in the sorority house. It's really convenient to take this vote and expose all of your sorority sisters to a male who's made everyone or most of them feel uncomfortable, but then move off campus and no longer be a college student. So there's that issue. And I know that many members of Kappa Kappa Gamma, when that vote was taken, treated you guys very poorly. What was the national leadership of Kappa like, and what was your reaction to they're really gaslighting you?
Yeah, well, during the voting process, usually we're not allowed to speak when we're doing voting. And multiple seniors at the time who had leadership positions who weren't going to be living in the house the following year stood up and said that if you don't vote for this member, then you're transphobic. And girls felt so bullied into voting a certain way. Then once this member was accepted into Kappa, the following day I went and talked to our president and standards at the time. And we were told that if we didn't like this, then we weren't true Kappas and our values didn't align with Kappas and that we should drop. And that hurt me so bad because that was the farthest thing from the truth. And that was the only thing that they had to say to us, was that we should just drop. Parents and other girls called headquarters multiple times saying, hey, we're not okay with this. This is not okay. And they told us that we need to be more inclusive.
You know, yeah. I don't mean to in any way be condescending here, because you are a young woman. All of you that I have interviewed are such smart young women, but you are young. Yeah. And you know, you're just sort of launching and you're in college still. You're still at a phase of life where, it's not as though you're working, but you're still in that sort of young phase of educating, getting ready to launch into the world. What was it like when full grown adults are telling you things like, we don't know what a woman is, and, or really the definition of a woman, women's safe spaces, women's safety, doesn't matter. You're being told that from headquarters. These are adults. These are our grownups in charge of the entire network of sorority chapters telling you this. What was that like? Did you just feel like you had slipped through some sort of black hole and entered into like bizarre land? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I felt betrayed. Very betrayed, because our own headquarters, who promised us a sisterhood and should be promoting a sisterhood, were the ones letting this happen and not having our backs, not supporting us whatsoever. I mean, they even kicked me out of my officer position in the House, where a capo lawyer wrote a 5-minute long spiel on how I was using my officer position for my own personal advantage in the lawsuit. And I was completely humiliated in front of my entire chapter. I felt backstabbed. It was awful.
Well, listen, you have the support of all of us at IWF. We admire you so much, and we wish you the best of luck. Any parting thoughts before we let you go?
I just hope and pray that if other women are experiencing this, and if other women are not okay with this, then they also stand up and they know that there's a massive sisterhood and tons of women right behind them supporting them as well.
Well, Maddie, thank you for being a leader, both in your sorority and for all women everywhere. We are hugely, as I said, supportive of what you're doing and your lawsuit, and the best of luck from all of us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And thank you all for joining us for this very special episode of She Thinks Podcast. Before you go, the Independent Women's Forum wants you to know that we rely on the generosity of supporters like you. An investment in IWF fuels our efforts to enhance freedom, opportunity, and the well-being of all Americans. Please consider making a small or large donation by visiting IWF.org/donate. That's IWF.org/donate. Lastly, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a rating or a review and share this episode so your friends can know where to find more She Thinks. From all of us here at IWF, thank you for watching.